All right, welcome back to another episode. Today we are talking about your brain and specifically why your brain does what it does and makes you do the things that you do. And the reason that I want to talk about this today is because last episode we talked about choosing your thoughts. We talked about how your thoughts are responsible for the results that you create in your life. Your thoughts are not responsible for what happens to you, but they are responsible for how you respond to what happens to you and how you go about your day-to-day life. And as a result, you know, what you create in your overall life. Okay. And we talked about that. And what I want to do now is give you a bit of an understanding from a more technical standpoint of what's going on in your brain and why it is operating the way it is operating to kind of hold you back from doing that. Okay. Because choosing your thoughts is definitely a higher level thinking thing. It is not something that just comes naturally to people. And as we talked about in that episode, we all have, you know, millions of thoughts that enter our heads throughout the day. And we're not in control typically of that first thought that comes into your head, right? And so what I want to cover today is a bit of an understanding of, you know, how your brain is actually operating so that you can understand why you think the way you do when you're not paying attention to it. And that will help you to gain a bit more control over the way that you think and your thought patterns so that, again, you can create the results that you actually want in your life rather than just feeling like you're kind of being dragged along or feeling like everything is sort of happening to you. So the very first thing that I want you to understand about your brain is that your brain is prehistoric. And I mean that quite literally. So there are differences in size and shape between our brain and a prehistoric human's brain, but the basic structures of the brain that we have in our heads right now in 2023, you and me walking around, the brain that we have in our heads right now is pretty much the same as the brain that was in a human being 35,000 years ago. And for context, history as we know it started 5,000 years ago. So that's when, you know, things started being written down, right? That's when we have an actual record, right? So this is literally prehistoric, okay? And all of the really important parts of your brain and the important structures have been present since those prehistoric times. And they are still doing all the jobs that they did then for us now, even though our modern lives right now could not be more drastically different than a human being who lived 35,000 years ago. And this has, like, this is something that I think people don't realize. We know, I think you can see that fact, but when you actually think about it, you could see that fact in a headline or something like that. I think, one of the major publications, I can't remember if it was Entrepreneur or something like that, did an article about this a couple years ago, and I saw everybody sharing it. And the headline was something to the effect of like, your brain is the same as it was however many thousands of years ago. And you can sort of like intellectually see that and understand it, but actually, you know, really grasping the impact that that has on you as a modern human and as somebody who wants to and is capable of managing your brain and managing your thoughts in order to improve your life is really significant. So the first thing that I want to sort of address here is that you are walking around right now with a brain in your head that was essentially adapted and evolved for somebody who lived 35,000 years ago. And when we talk about living 35,000 years ago, what we know from all of these beautiful, intelligent people that do this work that are absolutely not me because I am not a scientist, is that these people, these prehistoric humans, essentially lived in kind of small nomadic groups and they were hunter-gatherers. So I'm absolutely not a anthropologist. I couldn't even think of that word. So clearly not one. Absolutely not an anthropologist. So I really encourage you to go and like Google this stuff, take a look at it, do some reading. It's really fascinating. And I'm not going to attempt to regurgitate other people's work and, you know, hundreds of years of research here on a podcast about personal development. But essentially, we're talking about small groups, small nomadic groups, primarily hunters and gatherers. And, you know, their things that they were trying to survive were like finding food and finding shelter, a safe place to sleep, and finding water to drink. And they were very vulnerable to the predators that were around them and to environmental dangers, right? And otherwise, they operated, you know, I wouldn't say similarly, because obviously, like, our modern environment is so drastically different. But these were not, like when you think about a prehistoric human, I know for me, when I first started reading about this, I thought about someone that was like barely sentient, right? And that's not the case here, right? So these people actually did have social structures. They had like a variety of ways of communicating. Like they spoke to each other. They had art, they had music. And there are, I follow this really interesting girl on TikTok who brings archaeological findings and research and talks about them in layman's terms. It's fascinating. I'll have to find her handle and pop it in the show notes. But there are more and more discoveries being made suggesting that these things, these sort of like modern ways of life, so to speak, actually go back even farther than we think they do, because they're uncovering as technology advances and, you know, different funding is poured into different projects. They're uncovering more and more sites that suggest these ways of living even further back than we think. So I think that's really fascinating when you think about how old our brains are, and think specifically about what it is that that brain adapted to survive, right? Because it is not what we are living in now, okay? So basically, this brain that is in your head right now was designed to survive in an environment where finding food was often difficult and was a number one priority. Finding water was a priority. And then obviously avoiding predators, because we don't want to get mauled or eaten, and dealing with the elements, like dealing with, you know, weather and environment and stuff like that. So now that you know that, you know that you've got this brain that was designed for that in your head. Now we need to talk about the motivational triad. So the motivational triad is a concept that describes three basic motivations that drive all of human behavior. And those things are seeking pleasure, avoiding pain, and conserving energy. And some people phrase that as being efficient. So seeking pleasure, avoiding pain, and being efficient. So seeking pleasure basically is that your brain is constantly seeking out rewards and positive experiences. And so for most people, that's food, sex, social interaction. I would argue in our modern lives, right, we are seeking out those positive experiences in different ways, right? We have these devices, you know, in the palm of our hand that can give us dopamine. There are narcotics that can give us dopamine. There are many of our modern problems when you look at them, when you zoom out on a macro level, when we look at phone addiction, when we look at the way people are, you know, hooked on their technology, when we look at the opioid crisis, we look at all of these very nuanced and complex issues. Ultimately, the behavior that is driving people to these states is, it boils down to the motivational triad, right? Your brain is always going to seek out reward and positive experience. It's also going to avoid pain. So it's going to avoid negative experiences like danger and discomfort. And as we've just mentioned, you know, 35,000 years ago, 50,000 years ago, the danger and discomfort was, you know, ever-present survival threats. And for the vast majority of us now living our lives in 2023, that's not quite what we're dealing with, right? We are dealing with ever-present lower level threats. But I think we'll talk about this a little bit later in the episode, but I think one of the things that has happened to us is that we don't have these big threats where we're, you know, triggering our nervous system and we're going all the way into fight or flight and our fight or flight is saving us. And then we're coming back down. We have these constant little things that are putting us into fight or flight. And then we never come out of fight or flight because there is no high, high and low, low, right? There's no like feeling of safety after we have escaped a danger. There is just this kind of constant pressure of our modern life. And I think that our brain is absolutely not designed for that, because our brain, again, is designed for life 35,000 years ago. Then the last part of the motivational triad is conserving energy. So basically that's, you know, doing things with minimal effort and conserving resources, because again, food might be scarce, right? We want to make sure that we're not burning too many calories, that we are not using too much of what we have because we don't know what we're going to get again. And we now, most of us live a life of excess. Even if we are living a modest life by modern standards, compared to what our brain was evolved for, it is a life of absolute excess, right? So in your day-to-day life, this motivational triad that is driving everything that your brain does and everything that your brain tells you to do it's really controlling the way that you think and the way that you operate and go out into the world, right? From choosing like, what are you going to eat or drink? So for example, your motivational triad is, the motivational triad is going to tell you that you want to eat a fried chicken burger and fries and, I don't know, a Dr. Pepper. Whenever I think of pop, I think of Dr. Pepper just because of one of my students who absolutely loves it. But that stuff is not necessarily good for you, but it gives you pleasure. It tastes good. It gives you a dopamine hit. So your brain is going to tell you that's what you want, right? And it is a different part of your brain, a rational, higher thinking part of your brain that has to override that and say, no, you know, we had a fried chicken sandwich yesterday. Maybe today we should have a salad or, you know, chicken and rice or something like that, right? Because that's actually going to nourish us in the long term. These are not things that prehistoric humans thought about. Like, nutrition was a survival thing. It wasn't a health or a body composition thing, right? It was you get food and you eat it. And if you don't get food, you don't get to eat. And that's bad. That was it. So now we have this, like, we have this more kind of complex situation. That's just talking about food. There are many, many ways in which your brain is going to seek pleasure because of the motivational triad. And those things affect every aspect of your life and accordingly every aspect of your business. So now I want to circle back to the point that I made about your nervous system, about being in fight or flight. Okay. So the purpose of survival mode, and we talk, you see survival mode a lot. I talk about it a lot on social media. You see it all over social media. So being in survival mode is supposed to be a state of heightened arousal and a heightened like readiness, right? And it's supposed to be triggered by threats or danger. And it's got, there's so many things that go into it that are sort of physical and psychological. But one of the biggest things that go in, that goes into it is decreased rational thinking, right? Because your brain is like literally going into survival mode. It is trying to keep you alive and it doesn't want you to slow down and think analytically. It wants you to act instinctively and lean on all of that prehistoric primal wiring to keep you alive. The problem is that when your brain is in survival mode, it is prioritizing your immediate survival over long-term planning or rational thinking. And if we come back to the point that I made where I think that most of us are in survival mode most of the time because of the pressures and stressors and like over dopamine of our modern life, that means that almost all of the time we are struggling with long-term planning and rational thinking, which means that we are struggling to make good decisions and we're struggling to problem solve effectively and efficiently, right? So I think that one of the biggest things that we can do, and this has been true for me and it is true for my clients, so this is anecdotal. I'm not a scientist, have obviously not performed studies on this. But I personally have found that one of the biggest things that I can do to get a better grip on my brain and my thinking is to physically try to move myself out of survival mode, out of that fight or flight response as much as I can so that my rational thinking can kick back in. Okay. So this looks different for everybody. But for me, physical exercise, so like exertion, I've really developed a kind of love of lifting weights. And that is because the exertion of it really helps to kind of regulate my body, I find. And it's really interesting to me watching that in myself because my oldest son pretty much guaranteed has pretty severe ADHD. And one of the things that he needs to regulate himself is exertion and the like and exerting force. It's really, really important for him to get to do that with his body. So lifting heavy things, pushing heavy things, pulling heavy things, climbing, anything where he's exerting his body is very regulating for him. And I have found the same to be true for me. So I find that really helpful. Box breathing is another one. There's lots of different breathing techniques. You can look up breathing for nervous system regulation and find something that you like that works for you. And then something else that often comes up when you Google this stuff is called cognitive reframing. And that is essentially what we talked about in the last episode, is choosing your thoughts, right? It's a cognitive process of picking a different thought instead of the one that immediately occurs to you. And all of these things are supposed to help shift your brain out of survival mode and into a more kind of like rational and grounded state. And I think that's really important because we are not designed, again, we're designed for this life 35,000 years ago. We are not designed to be in survival mode 24/7. We're not designed to have our fight or flight triggered 24/7. Because what happens is then when we actually need it, when we need our fight or flight to be kicked in, sometimes it doesn't work if you're already in that state because you've gone all the way through fight or flight into dorsal vagal shutdown. Okay. And that's a whole different podcast episode. And what I would actually like is to get a nervous system expert on the podcast to talk to you guys about that because I absolutely am not one. But essentially, when you have been in fight or flight for too long or you have been triggered too many times too close together, you can go into dorsal vagal shutdown, which is exactly what it sounds like. It is essentially a shutdown of your nervous system responses. And I thought it was really interesting. I learned through reading about it that when a gazelle is running away from a lioness or something like that, they are in fight or flight when they're running, obviously. So their fight or flight kicks in and they run away from the predator. And if the predator catches them, it overloads their fight or flight and they go into dorsal vagal shutdown. So often, if the gazelle gets caught, it will immediately go limp. And it is not a cognitive thing. I remember watching like, you know, the Krat Brothers and stuff like that as a kid. And I remember thinking that that was like a trick in my little kid brain. I was like, oh, this is like a trick that the gazelle is doing. It's not a trick. It's instinctive. The gazelle doesn't know that it's doing it. Its body is shutting down because it's gone too far into fight or flight. And oftentimes the lioness will put the gazelle down and go to get like other lions to feed, and the gazelle will get up and run away. And I just think that's fascinating, right? Because when we apply that to our modern lives, obviously our brains are different than a gazelle's brain, but when we look at our modern lives and look at how long and how often we are put into survival mode by different financial pressures, by social pressures, by, you know, by anything, by trauma, there's so many things that can kick you into survival mode. And then the sort of day-to-day grind of your life can prevent you from getting out of it. But I think it's very possible that many of us are actually in that state of shutdown. And when we are experiencing like severe executive functioning difficulties, when we are experiencing that almost like where you feel like you're stuck in quicksand feeling about your business and about your life and about your goals, it's because you have spent too long in survival mode and all of those functions are shut down. And so the only way for you to then come back out of survival mode and access your rational brain and access the part of your brain that will allow you to override those prehistoric thoughts and drives is to intentionally regulate your nervous system. And in the episode where I talked about choosing your thoughts, I talked about the fact that I was spiraling. My thoughts were spiraling out of control and I was having a really, really, really hard time managing them until I started going to the gym. And once I started to regulate my nervous system by working out and exerting force in that way, I started to gain more control over my thoughts. And that is because I was regulating myself. I was bringing myself out of that heightened survival mode or out of that shutdown state slowly. And it's not pleasant. I'm not going to lie to you. It's not a super good feeling to come out of it, but you can literally feel it. You can feel yourself coming out of that shutdown. You can feel yourself coming down off of fight or flight. And then you're going to feel all your feelings and it's going to kind of suck because there's a lot of feelings typically that have put you in that state. You're going to feel them all. And as you feel them, you're going to realize that you can access your rational brain again, that your executive functioning is coming back, that you are capable of that long-term planning and analytical thought and higher level thinking. And I think that this is just incredible information. And I think it's so empowering because even if you right now are just having the shittiest of shit times and you are fully in survival mode, I hope that you're listening to this and understanding that it is not going to be forever and you can do something about it, even if your circumstances suck right now, even if your circumstances are bad. You can do something about it. There are so many free things that are fully within your control that you can do to regulate your nervous system, even if it's being actively dysregulated by something outside of your control. And when you do that, you will again be able to pull yourself out of that kind of cavewoman prehistoric brain state, access your upstairs brain, your CEO brain, whatever you want to call it, right? Access that rational brain and start piece by piece taking back control and feeling better. Okay, so that's what I'm going to leave you with today. I'll see you soon.